Good morning, everyone. Turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. We'll be looking at the end of chapter 4 today, verses 13 through 18. First Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is God's word. This is a wonderful encouragement. Proclamation of the truth that Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. There appears to be some anxiety, some concern here among these Christians at Thessalonica that those who have died before them, who are Christians, that somehow maybe they will not rise again. If there's an expectation that the Lord will return, and it's possible that they thought he would return soon, you know, I don't think it's clear kind of when people expected him to return here. There's some who speculate that people in the first century thought he would return right away in their lifetime. There's a concern, though, in some of them, it appears, that if people have already died before Jesus comes back, what's going to happen to them when Jesus does come back? Are they going to go to heaven? Do we have to be alive when Jesus comes back in order to go to heaven? Now, that may seem like so obvious to us today, like, well, of course not. Of course not. But keep in mind, in the first century here, there really were no religions that taught about hope for the afterlife, that there even is an afterlife. There were some thoughts in the Roman Greco world that maybe, you know, you come back as kind of like a shade or a shadowy, ghosty kind of a thing, but you would inhabit here. There wasn't a really clear pronouncement of an afterlife in any religion. And so this is really new to the culture, to the world, that there is eternal life, that our souls are eternal, and that believing and trusting in Jesus matters for all eternity, not just for the here and now. And so it appears that they have some concerns about death, about what's going to happen when they die. You know, it's hard when we lose someone that we love. Even if they're a believer, there's a grief that we have in our human nature. Even if we know that they are with Jesus, that we will see them again in heaven, there is a grief. I think it's really powerful that in no way does Paul say here, don't grieve. He's not scolding them because of they're sad that they miss the people that they love who have already died. No, he's saying, don't grieve like others who have no hope, because we grieve with hope that we will be reunited, as Paul is going to go on and talk about here. Now, it sounds so obvious to us, I think, the idea that well, all believers, whenever they die, or if we're alive when the Lord comes back, regardless, we'll be in heaven, and we will all be in heaven, the kingdom of God forever. But part of the reason that's so ingrained in us is because of passages like this, because of scriptures like this. And so Paul is going to speak here what appears to be kind of a Christian creed. So a creed is a saying that the church uses that is repeatable, memorizable, that helps us learn about what the scripture teaches, to try to put that all together for us. And here is a very brief creed. Again, this is an early letter, so it probably hasn't been formalized yet, but we see some very specific, we'll look at three very specific elements here, and this creed in verses 14 and 15. It teaches us three things. First, Jesus died and rose again. There's a proclamation of the gospel right there. There's an affirmation from Paul of what happened. And I know it sounds so basic to us, but this is a continued pronouncement throughout the scriptures, and is to be our continued pronouncement in our belief, in our words, in our speaking to one another, and in our speaking to the world, that Jesus died and rose again. This is truth, and our faith is built upon this truth. Second, he declares that those who are dead will also rise. Do not fear those who have already died, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They will rise again. He talks about them here as being asleep. This is a common image used for people who have died. It's, you know, probably more referring to the physical body and the state of our body there. He's not going into all the details here of what happens when we die, what happens when Jesus comes back, though we'll look at that in just a minute here at the end of the passage. It's not trying to cover all the details of the mystery, right? Sometimes we want to understand, you know, all the details of how things are going to happen. We just had as Lee led us through a book study from Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven. Right? And he's looking at all the different passages throughout Scripture about heaven. And there's so much there. And yet, the details of how we'll all unfurl are still part of mystery. We can know certain things. We know here, Paul is saying that, yes, those who have died ahead of time before Jesus returns will rise again. We also know Jesus says to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. So that picture of asleep there, there's some type of, we don't know exactly how that in-between time from our death and Jesus' second coming, and how that all works together. But we do know that those who die are not gone. Those obvious words, let them sink into our souls. Those who we miss now and we grieve so deeply because they are not with us, they are not gone. They will rise again. I would encourage us to hope in the Lord for those who we do not know if they believed in Jesus or not. To trust in the Lord. We never know what happens in people's final moments of their lives. And I'm not suggesting that everyone, no, of course, I know not everyone comes to the Lord, but we do not know what transpires in someone's heart, how God meets certain individuals. There are wonderful, wonderful stories of people hearing the gospel proclaimed when they were a child, and then very, very, very late in their life, remembering that and coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Okay. Third, in this creed then, Paul declares that those who are alive when Jesus comes back will join together with those who have died in Christ. Christ died and rose. Those who died in Christ will rise. Those who are alive and in Christ will not rise, they'll be alive, but will join together. And we will all be one family, one kingdom, one body. This is the truth of the gospel. And it is here designed and proclaimed to encourage us as we go about our lives, as we struggle in our lives, as we grieve those who have gone before us. Jesus Christ died and rose again. Those who are dead in Christ will rise again also, therefore. And those who are alive when Christ returns will join together with them as one. Verses 16 and 17 then go on to talk a little more about the second coming, that Jesus is coming again. This is something that we have to constantly be reminding each other of, encouraging each other in. After 2,000 years, it can begin to seem like this isn't true, this can't be. But the Word of God is true. It is self-validated, been self-validated throughout thousands of years. When it declares something to be and then it happens. And this too will happen. Jesus will come back. In verses 16 and 17 then, it's not really a creed, but there are three things that Paul calls out to us. And this is it's nice alliteration here from John Stott, who's an author, commentator, pastor, teacher. That first, it says in verses 16 and 17, that Jesus will return. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and the sound of the trumpet of God. Jesus Christ will return. Brothers and sisters, we must believe this truth that Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, I don't know if the three descriptions he has here of what will occur when Jesus returns are literal or they're symbolic, okay? With the cry of a command, with the shout of an archangel, and with the blast of the trumpet of God. I don't know. These are images that are picked up from the Old Testament also. These are symbolizing God's presence, God's power. They're speaking to the coming of someone really important. As an understatement here. So these things might be literal. There might literally be a sound of a trumpet that God has. It also might be figurative. I don't think that's the point here. I think the point here is to tell us this will be an unbelievable, momentous event, universe-shaking event when Jesus comes back. Second, with his coming, there will be resurrection. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Again, I think because of the concern that it appears that the Thessalonians had, that I don't think it's specifically, first, second, I don't think the order is really what matters here. I think what he's trying to encourage the Thessalonians in is saying, those who've gone before, who've already died, they will rise again. They will live again. There is a resurrection of the dead. And third, there will be a reunion. Verse 17, then those who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And here, this is the whole point of this passage. And so we will always be with the Lord. We, those who have died, we, those who are alive in Christ, will always be with Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That's what eternity has for us, not because anything in ourselves, but because Jesus loves us. I remember for years and years before my mom passed away, she would always talk about how she was just longing to go to heaven and crawl up into Jesus' lap as he's sitting on his throne. Just kind of this, you know, she was so tiny, and just almost like childlike picture, right? She just wanted Jesus to gather her up and just be with Jesus. And we will be. And those whom we have lost, who know the Lord, will be with us and will be together with Jesus forever, experiencing the great love, the great peace, the great joy of being with Jesus and with one another. No more sin, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more pain, no more surgeries. Now again, I don't know if this is literal when it says we'll meet him in the clouds, in the air, or if it's figurative. It very well could be literal, and that's wonderful, great. If you are afraid of heights, that will be canceled out. I can just, you know, I'm sure that will be the case. That'll be fine. Clouds again often are used throughout the scriptures to proclaim God's presence, right? There's the clouds there, whether it's leading the Israelites with a pillar of clouds, when God appears on the mountain of Mount Sinai, you know, just clouds and all the, you know, appears like almost like a cloud descending on the tabernacle. So it's God's presence there. But it very well could be that this is how it's going to happen here. We know throughout the rest of Scripture that the return of the Lord, it won't be like, oh, he's, you know, coming down on High Street, so only we who are happening to look in the right direction will see him. No, that it will be a worldwide knowing that Christ has come. How does that work out physically? I don't know. Can't wait to find out. It's going to be awesome. Again, not all the details are laid out for us here. You see how these two sections here go together? It's the same three things. In the Christian creed, Jesus died and rose again. Those who are dead will rise, and those who are living when Jesus comes back will join together. That's the return, the resurrection, and the reunion, as John Stott articulated it. Well, that all comes down then to verse 18 in conclusion. Verse 18 declares, therefore, encourage one another with these words. I I know for many of us this may seem so simple. And thanks be to God, in a way, it is. But here is where we get that simple truth that I hope we all believe. Jesus Christ is coming again. And all those, whether dead at that time or alive, will inherit eternal life, dwell with Jesus and together forever. And God says here through Paul that we're to tell each other this. We're to encourage each other by saying, Jesus is coming. Heaven will be wonderful. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again. When you miss those who have gone on before, you will be with them again. Trust in the Lord. He is coming. Heaven awaits those who trust in Jesus. Let us encourage each other with Jesus' return, with the resurrection, and with our reunion. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that you died and rose again for us, that you love us so, and that you have sent your Holy Spirit to all who trust in you, and that you have opened the doors to eternal life with you by your grace through our faith in you, Jesus. I pray for those who grieve and miss loved ones, Lord, that though we grieve, we would not grieve like those without hope. I pray, O God, as we face struggles and challenges in this life, O God, that we would look forward with great joy and great anticipation to your return and to our being with you and with our brothers and sisters forever and ever. Oh, Father, thank you so much for your love. Would you please open the eyes and ears of those in our community, those in our families, those of our friends who do not know you yet, Lord, that they too would trust in you for salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.